on, keep on, keep striving for this religion that we preach. Keep on, keep on, keep pushing, for nothing's ever right or free.
And yet, welcome to another rather strange edition of the Luton International Podcast. I actually can't believe we're bothering doing this after some, you know, one game as an international break where Ireland cropped yet another of our fucking players.
I gave you the choice. That's all I'll say is I gave you the choice.
Yes, and I said yes for some reason. I don't know. Anyway, so
me. That's what he's doing. He misses me. It's been 2 weeks. He needs his Gavin dose. He needs his daily dose.
Oh dear.
We might as well have fun because there's nothing positive to talk about in this podcast at all.
Right, so we'll run quickly through the Tottenham game. A closer game than you'd imagine beforehand, with our crippling injury list, which became even more crippling. Took the lead. As Andy Townsend's, so there's a great run down the wing from him. God knows how Tottenham allows him to get as far as he did. Good pass from Barkley, my fancy football team, and a good assist from Chong, who scored 3 and 5 ever since you slagged him off, and then he's got injured.
Right. We'll skip past the part where you called him Andy Townsend, not Andros Townsend. I wouldn't mind having Andy Townsend right now, to tell you the truth, where injury problems, like, he could probably do a job for us in midfield. But we're skipping over the most important part of the Tottenham game. The most important part was we found an instrument more annoying than drums at a football game or the vuvuzelas from all the way back in the World Cup in South Africa. We had a trumpet player at Tottenham.
I didn't actually notice that, but you know my rules on musical instruments.
Yeah, I know you're. I was sitting here going, do I take the piss out of them or do I just go with the obvious? Like, what the fuck was that? I'm sure the Spurs fans will have a reason why, but like, I knocked on the game to watch it, and it's obviously the start of the game. The commentator's trying to talk. The kickoff hasn't happened yet, and it's just drowning out the commentator. And I'm just like, what the fuck is going on? And then they show him in the crowd with his trumpet, and I'm just like, that's so sad. Spursy. It's so Spursy. It's so Spursy, but it's so sad.
I mean, I've got to say, it's you know, my views on this. Musical instruments, I've got no issue with musical instruments at games, as long as they pass the stringent fire safety test. And that test should be, if they simply know someone wants to take it into the ground, the fire safety test is insert it into their anus, out through their mouth. If they pass that, I've got absolutely no issue with them taking it in.
I knew you would love it. I was sitting there going, oh, as soon as I seen that, I just thought to myself, that's the first thing we're talking about on the podcast.
But nah, musical instruments and games, they're just a fucking embarrassment.
But going to the game, it was a great start. 3 minutes in, Chong scores again, as you said, 3 goals in 5 games now since I slagged him off.
Yeah.
Still going to turn around and say it. He's too lightweight to play in the centre midfield. He's great. If you put him out wide, which is kind of where he's been playing and kind of where he's been scoring from. So I guess I'm kind of right. So, you know, I don't know what to say. When you're right, you're right.
Do you really think I'm giving you any credit for that whatsoever?
No, I know you're not going to. You give me credit? Fuck no.
No,
I'd be more surprised. I'd be more surprised if you did. The couple of times you've agreed with me on anything, I feel like I'm taking a heart attack.
Well, actually, normally it's you agreeing with me because I do talk.
No,
sense.
No. You've agreed with me a couple of times, and I know it's worried you. I know it's worried you. But
it's disconcerting, actually.
But yeah, Tottenham, like as you said before the game, getting anything from that game, you would have looked at it and went, that's a bonus. But Spurs are Spurs, you know, and there's always a chance you can get something from them. You look at Fulham a couple of weeks ago, we're able to nick 3 points off me.
Bloody Forest tonight.
And then you look at Fulham tonight, who had to make 3 substitutions after 30 minutes because they were that fucking bad. But yeah, I mean, Tottenham are Tottenham. And as, yes, the game should have been out of sight if Tottenham could score at all. We had our chances as well. But at the end of the day, you let in two goals. The first one's just unlucky. I've watched it over and over again. It's just unlucky.
Yeah, I've got I can't blame him for that, Skibori. You're blaming some goals, but that one, if he doesn't make contact, the player behind him scores. Unfortunately, shanks his contacts a bit. It can happen. Let's just wait.
Yes. So here's the point I was going to make. It's not guaranteed that the player behind you scores, because the player behind you is Timo Werner. So it's not 100% certain that he's going to score. Take his miss in the first half as an example. But I think he does the right thing in that he's trying to clear it. And if you look at it, if you look at it back, he's trying to clear it. He's trying to do the right thing. He's trying to put it into Rosie of the opposite side, and it just comes off his shin. Like the ball just moved at the last minute or something. But it just comes. He miskicks it. It comes off his shin and it goes into the back of the net.
It's unfortunate. No blame there.
It's so unlucky.
Then you got obviously the second goal that comes through. That's
the second goal I had more of a problem with.
Yeah, it's come from our corner. It shouldn't come from a corner. We got players back defending. And then it's kind of unlucky to nick off Hashioka.
Go back a little bit. You were right up until that point. So they got it from our corner. Yes. They broke, yes. We managed to get players back behind the ball, yes. We were doing a good job of defending it. What's the one thing at that point you want to do if you're defending them?
Stop the cross and clear it.
Stop the cross, yes. And where's Son? Where's Son? Where's the most dangerous player at? He's at the edge of the ball. Now, the problem I have with the second goal is instantly you should be thinking, if you're a defensive-minded player and you're running back from the corner, you should be thinking, where's Son or where's their most dangerous player? Okay, he's there. This person's got him covered. Great. In this situation, it wasn't. Son was completely unmarked, strolling into the box, and there's two Luton Town players within 10 yards of him who just don't bother their fucking arse trying to get back and get close to him. Like, just get tight to him. Get close to him. Stop that being an option. And who are the two players?
The problem is, I think our defence has been sort of, so reshuffled yet again. It's obviously Burke goes off, leaving us with one fit centre back. So we've got pentagon shapes in round holes.
But it's not our defence. Our defence did the right thing. Like, we got players behind the ball. Even Hashioko's position, it comes off him and goes the opposite way to Kaminsky, is again unlucky. But again, if you're a midfielder and you're running back from that corner, or you're a player and you're running back from that corner to try to get back and defend, two things you should be looking at. One, is there anyone unmarked? Two, where's the most dangerous player? In this case, the player unmarked was their most dangerous player, and that was Son. And you have Collie Woodrow on one side, ball watching to see where the ball is going to go, instead of realizing that Son's right there, I need to probably go and pick him up because he's their most dangerous player. At least get tight to him. At least get close to him so he doesn't become an option. And who's the other player?
I don't know. I'm not a masochist.
Who's the other player? You know who the other player is. I know you know who the other player is. It's Ross fucking Barkley. Again. Again. This is not the first time, Nick. And I will sit here and I will say it till I have no air in my lungs. We need him going forward. You do not drop him from the team. We need him going forward. He's our only creative force right now, especially if Doughty's out of the team. The guy hasn't got a defensive brain cell in his head. Like,
that's not his role.
Your role is to win football matches. Your role should be smart enough to go, no, that's their most dangerous player 10 feet ahead or less than 10 feet ahead of me. I should probably go and close down the space on him. I should probably go and make him not an option. That's not being a role. That's common sense.
Shouldn't a defender be closing down their main striker?
The defenders have all got back. Like, you look at Son.
They got back, but they're nowhere near him. But
hold on. The defense has got back in a line. Son is one of the last ones to come forward. So the defenders have got their shape. What they're looking for at that point is someone in front of them, a Lokonga and a Kamba, who go, I need to make sure that Son's not an option.
But there's no point of being a line, but if you're then leaving the most dangerous striker unmarked.
No. Yeah. Their job is to get back into their shape. To get back into their defensive shape. If you have a deep-lying runner, you've got to make it. At that point, you've got to make sure your midfielders have you covered. You've got to make sure your midfielders are smart enough to know this is the person I should be picking up. Because, yes, we got back in a timely manner to defend the cross, but you had one go out, you had three in the centre, Spurs had pushed him out forward, and Son just slept by himself. Like, the defenders didn't do a bad job. They were waiting for the cross to come in. But none of them could get out to Son quick enough where Barkley and Woodrow, who are both behind them, can see Son perfectly. Because if I'm facing this way to see where the ball is going, I can't see Son coming this way. Barkley and Woodrow can see him perfectly because he's fucking run past them. He's in front of them. They can see him.
But he's already got past them. So then you've got the defenders there,
so
trying to
bust the nut and get back. Yeah. Bust the ball and get back and get close to him. He's their most dangerous player.
I think you've been waiting. Well, I think you've just got some sort of, you've got a hard in the back lane with Barkley defensively.
Defensively, he's not good. He needs to be in our team. Like, you look at a goal on Saturday, it was fantastic. Like, everyone thought he just slowed the game up too much, and then he picks out Chong on the left hand side. There was another couple of things he did in the game on Saturday as well. You just kind of sit there going, in the final third, we need him. Like, we need him so. Like, there was times during that game where I was watching the Luton shape, and it was Townsend, Barkley, Morris. That was the three. Morris, Barkley, Townsend. He's the most dangerous, and he's the most. He gives us the most chance of creating something when he's in the final third. Defending is not, as you said, it's not his role. I don't necessarily think, like, it's everyone's role, especially when you're a team like us in the Premier League and you're battling for every point. You've got to defend. You've got to be able to defend. With him, I don't think the common sense for defending is there. He likes the going forward part. He likes being on the ball and moving the ball around. But when it comes to when he's lost the ball, it's happened. Like, this is not, like, I'm not saying this because I want to have a go at Ross Barkley. Like, I'm saying this because this is not the first time.
So he can go to your pet Man United.
No. I'm saying this because this is not the first time. Like, if this was a one-off, I'd sit there and go, yeah, you know what? It's the 88th minute or the 85th minute or whatever it is. Players are tired, whatever. But it's not the first time it's happened. And it's not only late in games that happens. It happens early in games too, where he just loses his runner. And there's just no, I don't want to say effort, because that I think is a bad word when it comes to football. But there's no slight switch in the head that switches and go, oh, I need to.
So what you're saying is he's not a defender. Okay, we know that.
He's not. He's not a defensive midfielder either. But we're playing him in that role. That seems to be the role we're playing him in.
We're playing him as a deep lying midfielder.
Deep lying midfielder, yeah. Quarterback. Quarterback, I think, was the term we used.
But, yeah, of course, that's not the term I fucking use. I'm not American. Jesus.
But yeah, that bothered me. The second goal bothered me. Because without that, it's quite possible you escape with a point, which is a point you didn't expect.
Nah.
And realistically, over that three out of them four games you're looking at and going, we're not getting anything from them three out of four games. Bournemouth's probably the only game you can sit there and go, we might be able to get something from them if we actually have players fit to go out on the pitch at this point.
And this is the main issue. We've got some of 13, I mean, there's sort of 10 obviously definitely out for tomorrow. Three who are rated worse than 50-50. Now, the question obviously, if we got answer from that one, if there's a risk, do you even play them tomorrow?
Nope.
Tomorrow is not a game we realistically get anything from.
Yep. Nope.
I mean, I love it. I would absolutely love it if you can replay the script so we're both saying no, we don't get anything as we're celebrating a point or a win.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, if we get something from tomorrow night's game, whoo, it'll be. Here's the thing I will say. If Arsenal play the way they did on Sunday against City, then we do have a chance, because I don't think they bothered to venture outside their own half for about 80% of that game.
However, that is kind of, you know, they're aware at City, they're thinking, right, it's a title rival, get something from the game. At home against us with 13 players out, I don't think they're going to be sitting back.
I'm just saying, let's hope. You know, I seen Arteta came out today and said something along the lines of, you know, they've doing a fantastic job and they've been fantastic and whatnot. He's only saying that because he's not worried about us at all. And I think I said this about some other manager as well. He's not worried about us at all. Like, come out and say nice stuff to us after we've beaten or after we've taken points. Even Klopp didn't come out and say anything nice about us after the draw. He comes out and says nice things about us before the game, that they win 4-1, because he's pretty confident they're going to win. But yeah, he didn't come out and say anything nice about us after the 1-1 draw.
I mean, managers
are not going to do that.
I think it would have been a hard game tomorrow if we had a fully fit squad.
Yeah.
We don't even have half of squad fit.
And here's the thing. You go down the list of injuries, right? And it's calf, hamstring, 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 hamstring. Like, what the fuck is going on?
I think, I mean, the only thing I could think of is basically, obviously, we are playing against players who are better than the players in our team. That's understandable. They cost a hell of a lot more. And they've got more experience at level. So we've basically got a game plan of some, you know, we have to work harder than to actually sort of level things up. There's only so much you can do that for. And that's the only explanation I can think of. I'm not a physio, but
it's muscle injuries. You like it. What worries me as well is like we didn't get these muscle injuries, and it could come back to what you said. You know, we're playing against players that are a lot better than what we were coming up against last year. But we didn't. I don't remember getting this many muscle injuries last year. We did the year before. Yeah.
Yeah.
At the wrong time too.
Yes.
Kind of like this time, but the amount of muscle injuries is a worry. Like that's something that, you know, the medical team should be looking at and going, are we doing something wrong? Do we need to change training in any way, shape, or form? Like muscle injuries.
What we need to do is stop sending players on international duty.
Chio. That's the only thing you have. That's the only thing you have for this whole episode is, Chio went on international duty. You were in Ireland.
Actually, no, Nakamba
came back injured.
Nakamba got injured in international duty as well.
Yeah, you didn't mention that. I think there's an anti-Irish bias here.
Nah, it's just an anti-E bias.
But yeah, it's worrying.
You're not qualified as Irish anymore. You're half American.
Yeah, I'm full Irish. I'm just integrating into the American lifestyle. But apparently Mads Anderson was close. How close? No one really knows.
Breakdown by the sounds of it. So it's
I think there was something like two weeks ago that he was close. I know he was close, and then he had a breakdown.
He had a setback come through. It's Lukonga the same. I mean, Lukonga can play tomorrow anyway, so.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the amount of injuries you have, dude, it's just,
I think if anything does this season, it's going to be those injuries, and it's just sort of, and that's, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's just looking at the injury list, and, you know, I think the hardest part to look at really is the midfield, because I think with Nakamba or Lukonga, I think we'd be doing a lot better. I think there's points that we've thrown away that we wouldn't necessarily have thrown away if they were there. You can say the same for the defense with Osho out and Anderson out and now Burke out and Potts out. Potts maybe not as much. Bell, you know, the defense has definitely hindered us as well. But the one thing
the defense actually would have been quicker to name who we've got fit as centre backs.
Mengi, Hashioko, Kabore.
Mengi. The other two are fullbacks.
Not anymore than that.
No.
But like, this is the thing. Like, as you said, tomorrow night, recording this on a Tuesday. Do we bother against Arsenal? No, you don't.
If there's
anyone that's like, you know what, it's probably an 80-20 where he can go now. He could probably play. You don't play him. You save him for Bournemouth. That's a more winnable game.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the fitness type of things as well. I mean, I suppose you can see those who've got knocks rather than stuff, you know, muscle tweaks. You're thinking they're more ones you can run it off to a certain extent, but it's still not great. It's you've got to, but then it's trying to find 11 players you can field.
I mean, there's going to be a number. Like, I think Rob Edwards already came out and said, like, he's not going to lower the bench, you know. He's already got two goalkeepers on the bench as it is. He's not going to lower the bench to seven or eight players and give teams, you know, oh, they're really having injury problems. Like, there's going to be a number of young kids on the bench tomorrow night.
Well, yeah.
The problem is whether they actually get on.
I forgot the guy we signed from Reading.
Taden Hurst.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah.
He'll be there as well. And I suppose the other thing as well, to an extent, it's actually quite good for the youngsters to get an opportunity even on the bench there. Some might even come on. They have done before. And that, as long as it's basically not getting destroyed, that's good for their development.
Yeah. Yeah, as long as it doesn't get out of hand. And realistically, like, you think about it, these next three games, Bournemouth's probably the most winnable out of three of them. Just get through these next three games. Don't have any more injuries. Don't risk anyone. And if anyone's 50-50, then don't play them. Just get through these next three games, you know, and still be within touching distance of safety. And you got Brentford, Wolves, West Ham, and Fulham. And you got three of them games at home.
Yeah. You don't want to be basically killing our sort of any players with knocks who then might be able to play in those ones if there's a chance they can.
Exactly.
Rob Edwards won't see it that way. He'll see he wants to try and win every game, which you can't fault for. It's got the scoring one, but I think there comes a point you think, okay, maybe pick and choose your games for certain set.
I think it's about time we had a chat about Rob Edwards. You know, we've given him all season. I don't think he's the right man for the job. I think we need to offload him as quickly as possible, him and his coaching staff, and get Nathan the Savior Jones back in, because realistically he's the only man that can save us.
You finished?
Pay whatever compensation Charlton want, just get him back in, keep us in the Premier League.
Again, why did I agree to do this?
We could have left it to next week.
I'm just thinking, even a virtual eye roll there.
The thing is, like, obviously that was all a joke. Don't come at me.
No, please. I'm asking because I'm just thinking, what am I listening to?
The thing is with Edwards now, like earlier on the season, even at the beginning of this year, you know, we weren't picking up points, or we weren't necessarily doing well, but we're still being competitive in games, just like we are now. He always came out and he always like chipper and upbeat, and you know, and you know, we're gonna continue fighting, and we're gonna continue fighting right to the end. The last couple of post-match interviews he's done, you can just tell, like, he's just been absolutely downtrodden. He looks like, I don't want to say a beaten man, but he looks like someone who's just been kicked the shit out of.
I don't think he's beaten. I think he's probably just thinking, how many more injuries can possibly happen?
It's definitely getting to him. It's definitely aging him, should we say. But
it's your matches.
Huh?
Don't all manage age or something. If you
not if you're Pep, if you're fucking winning league titles every year and have 100 and something allegations against you. Yeah, Pep seems to be doing just fine. But yeah, you can definitely tell in the last couple of post-match interviews he's done that it's starting to wear on him. He's done a fantastic job. I honestly don't care if we go down this year or not. He's still manager of the season for me. And I know there's been other people talking about, like, Gary O'Neill at Wolves and whatnot, and he has done a good job. But to me, there's no one other than Rob Edwards that deserves that title. What he's done with the resources that he's done it with, I don't think there's another manager in the league that could do that.
If he keeps us up, then he's got a really good shout, manager. Well, actually, no, he doesn't.
If he keeps us up,
it's the Premier League.
If he keeps us up, Luton, the board, need to take the money that we will get from next season's, or part of the money that we get from next season's TV deal, and build a statue of him outside the ground. Because that will be the most remarkable achievement that this club has ever, ever done.
Look, hang on. Build a statue of him? Did you see what happened when he actually did a post-match interview? It went viral, and lots of women basically sort of sexually objected to you. And now you want a statue.
You put it right outside Power Court. More people are going to go when the stadium is finally built. Perfect. But yeah, like, all messing aside, what he's done, like, at the beginning of the season, people were realistically, not like, yeah, there was troll fans, but like, realistically, people were thinking, could they break Derby's record? And it's, I don't want to say it's not even close. It's 11 points, but it's not close. Like, we've been in most games this season, apart from the City FA Cup game and probably the Liverpool game. We've been in most games.
In the City FA Cup game, it was within a goal. One.
Or four.
You know, it was 3-2 at one point, wasn't it?
At one point, yes. Yeah. Is that when you stopped watching? Because it didn't end 3-2.
No.
But, yeah, I mean, the job he's done has been nothing short of fucking miraculous. We talked about, like, the off season and if we did go down, what that would look like. I think he's the one I think he's the one that I look at that I'm not worried about. I think he'll want to show that he can get back up again and next time around be able to stay in the Premier League.
What I'd say is let's see it in the season where we are and discuss where players are.
Yeah, like, and I'm not trying to say we're down. Like, I'm not trying to say that. Like, it gets more and more difficult the more and more injuries we get. But again, I will say it. If he keeps us up in this division, it will be the most remarkable achievement of any modern day manager. And we've had some great managers that have done some great things. David Pleat on the last day of the season in 83, was it?
Yeah.
We're in the 80s anyway. John Steele getting us out of conference after 5 years in fucking hell. You know, Nathan Jones getting us out of League One at the first go. You know, David Pleat again with the FA Cup run to the semi-final.
Hang on a second. Nathan Jones getting us out of League One at the first go.
Nick, come on. Okay, Mick Harford got us up because he managed the last, what, six games? We were in pole position.
When did Nathan Jones jump ship?
February?
January?
So we had a little bit to go, but we were in pole position. Like, Nathan Jones slash Mick Harford getting us up that first time of asking out of League One. That was something miraculous because I don't think anybody was really taught. I think most people thought we were going to be in there for a little while. But then David Pleat's FA Cup run to the semi-final. Like, we've had some Ray Harford's League Cup win. We've had some great achievements by some really, really good managers. But nothing will eclipse this if he keeps us up. What we've had to go through, especially when you consider it's not at the beginning of the season, you don't have time to catch up, you know, and to kind of get your way back into the game. Like, it's coming with, what, six, seven games left? Eight games left in the season?
Yeah, it's they're not short-term injuries either, mostly, so.
No. Yeah, nothing really looks like it's going to be resolved before the end of the season. Yeah. Depending on how bad Chio's injury is, maybe, I don't know. All I heard was it was a hamstring, so going by the rest of the hamstrings, I doubt he plays again this season.
Seems the way it goes, but one final point on the injuries, because we'll keep it fairly short. There seems to be a few fans, a lot of trolling, saying we should have signed some more players in January. And it's sort of, you know, lack of foresight, lack of loyalty, keeping Tom Lockyer's spot open, which, of course, Omni Dimon's coming and taking that now. So, and actually, good to see him get games, to be fair. So, my question is here. Do you think we should have signed more players in January? And I'm going to have a follow-up question here if you answer yes.
Okay, then, yes.
Okay.
Here's the thing. Should we have signed more players in January? You could say yes and no, because we signed Hashioko, we signed Harris, and we signed the centre back from Reading as well. I can't remember his name right now.
Yeah,
but I think the name is. Yeah. We signed them three. They're the three that bounced straight off my head that I can think of in January. Should we have signed more? Three signings for a January window is actually pretty decent, but. Should we have signed players that were ready to play right now? Yes.
And where would we have put them? Bear in mind, the injury crisis didn't hit until after the window.
You put them in your squad, and if they do well enough during the training, then it's whoever does well enough gets a game. Look at Andros Townsend.
Okay, so you
before Saturday's game, when was the last time? Hold on. But before Saturday, when was the last time you can remember Andros Townsend starting a game? And Andros Townsend is a pretty big name. Like he's got a decent career behind him and he's got a lot of experience. When was the last time he started a game? Was it January?
I think so, yeah. But again, you said put him in the squad in place of who?
Well, you signed three players. So I'm just saying the three players you sign, you don't sign, and you sign players with more... With a better... Apart from Hashioko, the other two, until this injury crisis... One of them definitely won't, but until this injury crisis, you looked at Hashioko as someone who, when you signed him, could possibly play this year.
Yes.
If shit hit the fan, he could probably play this year. But realistically, you were getting him in and getting him up to speed for next season. Holmes, you basically bought and sent back to Reading, so we know the idea behind that. Go back to Reading, play some games. You'll come into us in the summer. We'll decide whether you're up to the level that we're at then or whether we're going to send you out alone again. Tayden Harris, the same thing. You're a prospect. You're a young prospect. Come in, play with our under-21s and our development team. We'll shoot you out on loan probably next season, again, depending on what league you're in, and again, depending on who stays, who goes. And then we'll build you from there. You're a prospect. You're not for right now. what I'm saying is those three players you sign, if you don't sign them and sign three players who are borderline Championship Premier League players.
Okay, and again, how do you fit them into the squad? Where?
You put them into when you're if you're talking about like match day squads.
No, I'm talking about the squad of 25. You're only allowed 25 players over 21.
Okay, so
we have a full
Holmes,
squad.
Holmes and Harris wouldn't have been over 21. So okay, so
Holmes is over 21. So
okay, so two players. You brought two players in that one you sent back out on loan, so you don't need a squad place for Hashioka. You do.
Yeah.
You use the lock of your space on Onyedimia. I don't necessarily think you do that. So that brings you up to two spots straight off the gate. And realistically, if you can get a third player of quality in that you can think can keep you in this division, you probably look at offloading someone like, and I know he just scored a couple of weeks ago, Berry. Woodrow. Because you're saying it's before the injury, so you don't know Eloy's going to get hurt. So you look at it and go...
That's the point. Everyone's saying, oh, this injury crisis, if we sign there, we've got 13 players out injured. We've got a squad of 25. It doesn't matter what players you sign in January. People are still going to be injured. You can only name 25.
It does and it doesn't, just because people will look at the names you signed in January and go, we should have signed someone with a bit more experience that could probably play at this level, instead of having someone that we signed and sent back to Reading, or someone who realistically you brought over from Belgium and you were looking at for next season until all this shit hit. I don't necessarily have a problem with them not doing more business in January, because realistically, even in January, even with how like plucky and courageous we've been, the realistic approach is we're probably not going to stay in this division. So we bring in Hashioka, who'll be ready for next season. You bring in Harris, who's a great young prospect from all things I've heard. And you bring in Holmes, who could probably play at Championship level next season because he seemed to do it the season before for Reading. So you're building for next season. Like, I've got no problem with that. But I can see where the fans would say, yes, you needed to do more in January. But here's the thing. As you just pointed out, it's hindsight. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hindsight. Because you do not know those injuries are coming.
No.
Like, I know Nakamba was already gone at this point, which would have probably been one of the positions. I think I said on the podcast around January, I'd like a defensive midfielder and I'd like a defender. And the reason why I said defensive midfielder and defender in January was we knew Nakamba was going to be out long-term. If anything happened to Congo, we were screwed. If Arsenal pulled him back or whatever, he got injured like he is now, we'd be lacking, which we're shown we are. And the defender one, I wanted us to bring in a defender simply because Rhys Burke, as we know, has been injury-prone. As good as a defender he's been injury-prone. Lockyer had had the incident, I believe, by that point.
Yeah.
Anderson was already on the injury list. And Bell was already on the injury list. So at that point,
Bell was still playing. Bell was fit.
Bell was still playing. Okay, so you had Burke injury prone. You had Lockyer gone. You had Anderson gone. And you had Potts gone. Okay, they were the four I was trying to think of.
Potts was fit in
January? I don't think so. Because he came back and then he was on the bench for one game and then was gone again.
Yeah.
Potts
came into the bench in the game where Elijah got injured pre-warm-up.
So the United game,
yeah,
February 14th.
Oh fuck me! You've got a love affair with him, haven't you?
No, I just remember because it was Valentine's weekend. And I wanted to go over for the game, and my wife gave me a very stern no.
Can I just point out?
It was like February 14th, February 16th, somewhere around there.
Can I just point out you've got a love affair with Man United? No, I remember because it was February the 14th, Valentine's Day.
I just remember like here's the thing. Like I've spoken about this before. All my family are United supporters. Of course, I know when that game is. The first games I looked for when the Premier League fixture list came out was Luton versus Manchester United. I wanted to see where we were playing them, but it was in February. So Potts realistically probably wasn't fit at that point here, which means you had a back line of Bell, Mengi, and Osho. Mm-hmm. They were the three we had. So that's why then I wanted another.
Potts, who was close. Anderson, who Potts, was probably close.
Who's close-ish, not... That's what I wanted another defender. Even if you have Potts coming back and you have Anderson coming back, you still know you have Burke as a, unfortunately, an injury-prone defender. You bring in another defender. Just to make it 3-3.
He was fit up until the weekend as well.
No, yeah. Like, but we all know he's eligible to pick up an injury at any point. And if we know it, then the management team has to know it too. You've got to go, you know what? Just as a security measure, I'm going to bring in a defender.
But again, it's a squad space. Realistically, the only defender who was out was Lockyer, which, okay, it may be sentimentality. I want to leave there, but they don't know what was going to happen with him. The medical staff can say, you know what? Actually, there's no reason you can't play again. So here's the thing,
like, it wasn't just Lockyer, it was Anderson was out at that point. Potts, as you say, was kind of on the fence, maybe he could, maybe he couldn't.
Anderson wasn't out long term at that point. He had a knock and then he was looking to come back. He's had some setbacks.
But you've got to look at it and go, okay, what happens? Like, you've got to think of every possible scenario. So you look at that and go, okay, I've got Potts out injured.
Only have a squad of 25.
Yeah, but you look at it and you kind of go, okay, I've got Anderson out injured, I've got Potts out injured, I've got who was your defender? We said, well, we literally had three fit defenders. We had Bell, Osho, and Mengi, and then Burke kind of on the fringes. You look at that and go, okay, Potts and Anderson coming back. Joe Johnson, a young player, do you really want to do that to him? To me, I would have looked at that and went, you know what? I think I need another defender. Even someone who can play, like, I'm not saying bring in two players, even someone who can possibly. Like Osho has done for us in the past, where you can play center defense, but you can also sit up and play in that defensive midfield role if we need him. You're killing two birds with one stone. It doesn't have to be a signing. It can be a loan until the end of the season if you can find the right person.
That was the one area. A loan has to come from the championship or below.
But here's the thing, like, you'll find someone. You can find someone. Like, I'm not saying this player has to be a first-team player. Just someone who can do a job for you. Someone who can fill in a void where you're not to the point where we're at right now, where it's like we're playing academies.
It's another thing. You're saying we should have basically pushed some out the squad.
No, because we had a space. You just said we had a space
for Lockyer, which Onyedimba is coming for. Yeah,
you don't. Okay, you don't bring Onyedimba back in. Onyedimba wasn't even with the team at that point.
No,
he didn't come back from loan until January.
So, yeah. Well, no, yeah, he came back in January because he's injured. So he obviously has come back in, but as it is, it will be needed on this one. So you're saying get a loan in. Now, a loan, we've got a Premier League quota of loans. We couldn't get any loans in. So you're then looking at a loan from the Championship or below. Now, for someone to loan sort of, you know, a player there, that's not going to be a first team player they'd be willing to loan out because they'd be willing to transfer fee.
Yeah, no, I get that.
You'd be loaning a player who isn't good enough for a Championship side and then loaning him for the rest of the season.
Okay, so would you have brought Alan Campbell back? If you had a choice to bring Alan Campbell back right now and say, okay, he can play in the first, would you have done it?
Well, yeah, defensive midfielder.
So you're talking about a player who can get a game in the Championship, who could come back in and play for us.
Yeah, but he's our player.
Doesn't matter. He's still a player that can't get into a Championship team. That's the argument you're making against me is that he'd be in a Championship team who can't get into a Championship team. We have a player on loan with a Championship team who can't get into a Championship team. Will you be okay with him coming back into the team? Where does it make sense?
Okay, now we're talking about sort of, you know, we're not talking about sort of our player who they're sort of not getting there. We're talking about a Championship team having a defender, you're saying. Mm-hmm. Right, okay, we're not going to play him, so we'll loan him out to a Premier League club because we're not going to play him, but then he'll be step up to the Premier League. If he's that good, why would they not be playing him? Obviously, our loan players, they're different on that one. I don't know what Millwall have done to Alan Campbell because I think he's great for the last season.
It's not different. He's still not playing. When you want to or not, he's still not playing. It's not different. He's still not playing. Like, Onyedimba couldn't get into a team in the Championship. Given is because he had major injury problems through a long stay.
And when he was
in the team, looked pretty decent. But you're bringing him back in, and it looks like he's going to play tomorrow night against Arsenal. Like, there's bound to be a player somewhere that might not fit everything about your team, and or the manager doesn't like him, and you're going, I'm not playing him. I don't like him. I'm not playing him. But you know what? He might fit right into what we're trying to do. You know what? I don't need you to do all this sort of stuff. I just need you to sit here and just get that ball out of there as quickly as possible. That's all I need you to do. And I may soon.
Okay. So what players, from your extensive knowledge here, what players in the Championship that can't get into their sides can step up to the Premier League and they come to be willing to let them go?
According to you, Alan Campbell. Let's just bring him back.
I'd say bring him back because we're fucked with injuries. If we could bring him back, which we can't bring him back. So that's irrelevant anyway.
Here's, like, during January, like, I'm with you. Like, there's not a lot of options. And again, I will say this. I think the club did the right thing during January. But I understand where people come from when they say we should have done a little bit more. I don't think the club should have done a little bit more, but I understand where they're coming from. It's this whole thing of they fans like us will always want what they feel is the best for their team. And you're always going to have differing of opinions. I think Luton did a really good job in the January transfer window. I really do. And I think it's setting them up long term. But at the same point, like, if you talk to fans who, like, there's this whole thing right now where, you know, oh, give me back the championship. Bring me back to the championship. You know, I fucking hate this Premier League shit. Bring me back. Realistically, most fans want to go back to the championship because we were successful in the championship. Given the first season, we weren't, but we built success year on year. We're not successful right now.
Fans don't want to go back to the championship. They're just saying it's not a disaster. There's a difference. They might praise up as bring back. They're not saying prefer the championship to the premiership. Well, they might be on that one, but that's they're not meaning onto that one. It's they say it's kind of a bit more fun because you're not there's a huge gulf in finance and everything else, which of course actually is in the championship as well, mm-hmm. as we previously went up. What they're saying is basically thinking, right, it's not going to be like, oh, woe is me, oh, we're doomed if we get relegated to the back to the championship. Now, some clubs, like Everton, if they get rid of the championship, they could be probably screwed. Yeah.
They're fucked. I've spoken about this before. Like, with the amount of debt that they have there and everything else that's going on at that club, if Everton do end up getting relegated, I think they have enough to stay up. But if they end up being relegated, That will be PSR's fucking wet dream, because you have Everton fans going off about the PSR and the point deductions, everything, and like, it won't put clubs out of business. Watch your club go out of business if you go down to the championship. Watch it.
Yeah, they got £237 million loss they made over three years.
That has to be another point deduction, and whether it's this season or next, it's going to be another point deduction.
There'll be a point deduction this season. There'll probably be another one next season. The way they go onto it, and it's But then they're turning around and saying, oh, it's, I mean, I think they've actually apparently made some video pointing out all the refereeing decisions sent to Howard Webb and asked for a meeting with him. Thinking, okay, seriously, Everton, are you thinking you're that wrong by refereeing decisions any more than anybody else?
It evens out over the years what they say. So
it's basically a whole Scouse mentality. They're always going to claim they're the victims and it's not their fault.
Yeah, and like the thing was, it's weird because you never associated that with Everton. You associated that with their neighbors, but it's really coming to light now. And here's the thing: like, I understand why there's financial rules there, because, you know, this whole, like, we could have gone out of business. We could no longer be a club, or if we were a club, we'd be a Phoenix club, because of what happened to us, and the egotistical nature of these fans of these clubs that sit there and go, it won't do that. It will put your club out of business. You're no better than a Luton or a Bury or a Macclesfield or any of them clubs. You're no different. Just because you've been in the Premier League for so many years doesn't matter. Look at Bolton now. They're struggling. They nearly went out of business.
We've got the history, we've got the fan base and everything else, so therefore we won't go out of business. However, they also have the debts. I mean, some of the debts, though, like Southend almost went out of business over £200,000, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're running a 250-something million loss? Like, your club's not too big to go out of business. Like, it's the old saying, right? Your club's not too big to go down, and Newcastle kind of found that out the hard way a number of years ago. Like, you're not too big to go down. As I said, I think they have enough to stay up. I do. Looking at them tonight, though, I'm not so sure. But I think they have enough to stay up. The thing is, if Forest go down, I think Forest have kind of done enough over the last year to kind of go, oh, shit, this is a real thing. We better be careful. Everton, I just think, are still flaunting it. They're still flaunting it. And it's a case now of, if you go down, you're in serious, serious trouble. They're going to be stripped apart. There's not going to be a player left from this Premier League season. Everyone's going to have to go. Like, it'll be a fucking fire sale. Like, you look at their biggest prospect right now that they're all talking about with the England debut the other week is Brantway. Like, realistically, because he's English as well, and we've talked about Doughty before, realistically, you're talking, what, 30, 40 million?
Mm-hmm.
If they get relegated, 5? 10?
No, they still get... I think Leicester still got some, you know, big money for their players, some of the ones that went, so...
Tielemans walked. Tielemans walked at the end of the season, which was, again, it's another thing that Everton probably need to look at and go, hold on, who's out of contract at the end of the season? You know, they could just walk. Like, Tielemans walked, like, just left and went to Villa. Yeah, and I think that was one of the things about Leicester last season is that he coming to the end of the season, it looked like players weren't playing anymore. You know, it looked like there was no fight left. That was the thing about, like, Everton showed last year at the end of the season there was still fight there. You know, Leeds didn't show any fight. Leicester didn't show any fight. If I'm an Everton fan, the lack of that, more than anything, the lack of fight right now would be like a Luton are still fighting. We're still fighting. And to use the old Kevin Keegan saying, I would love it if we stay up. Love it. You know? But we're still fighting. We're still battling. You look at Everton tonight and they looked like there was no fight there.
But they still came back and got a point.
They got a penalty late on. A penalty that, I can be honest with you, is a 50-50 penalty because I've seen them given and seen them not given. But I instantly thought of you because as soon as the referee goes to the video screen, I'm like, it's a penalty. They're giving it. Because as you said, once he goes to the video screen, that's it.
Yeah. Send the video screen. That's changing it. Anyway, right, I'm not going to bother with score predictions tomorrow night because A, by the time this gets out, probably outloaded, and B, I just don't do that anyway, so.
2-1 Luton.
Okay. As I said, I'm not bothering with score predictions, so.
I was just trying to get you to say something.
Something.
And then Bournemouth. Just get us some players back. Just get us some players. Like,
yeah, just a Lokonga or someone like that, please.
Yeah, anyone. Like, Alex, if you got that fucking voodoo doll, I swear to God, I'm going to fucking hurt you. Like, just stop with the voodoo shit.
It's all right. He's actually got a bit of your clothing he's putting on for next.
He's got what?
He's got a bit of your clothing he's putting on the voodoo doll for next.
He's got a bit of my clothing?
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Right, okay, so that's all we have time for, which actually went on longer than I thought for no reason whatsoever. So, cheers.